You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. All right, welcome in. We are officially live, Minor Talk, here along with Sal Montes, Alberto Reta, Se Galindo. I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are live on Inspo Lens as well, thanks to Chris. And we are here. UTEP basketball comes off a loss. What is going on? What happened? They just defeated UC Santa Barbara. This was a team who shot over 50% from beyond the arc and beat the Gauchos 79-76. A good Santa Barbara team just last week. That was a team in UTEP that made 11 three-pointers. And then tonight, to go back on the road in, I would say, a neutral site and shoot 28% from beyond the arc, but more than just that. You know, 14 turnovers on UTEP's side. They completely get out-rebounded in this one. Again, 35-21 is the glass, comparison in this one, and UTEP just falling again on the glass. And then in the foul category, UTEP racked up 22 fouls tonight. And, you know, it just led to San Jose State starting off strong in this one and UTEP just falling in a game that they shouldn't have lost. Put it honestly, they should not have lost tonight. My expectations were that UTEP wins tonight, they win tomorrow, and they win Wednesday. After they dropped this one tonight to San Jose State, 71-65 when it was all said and done, I don't know if I have the confidence moving forward, Sal, that this team is going to be the one that goes, you know, wins two out of these three. This team might win one of three. You said, Sal, from our previous Minor Talk, you're picking two of three. You still said that there
one out of
you said one out of three.
One out of three, yeah.
You did say one out of three, and so UTEP ends up slipping this first one, and then for these next two, it means an uphill battle here for the Miners, but consistency is the biggest issue with this basketball squad. At least that's what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, and I think for me, kind of what I'm taking away from it, obviously if it's 0-3, that's a problem in its own, but I think what I'm looking for is kind of, are they going to start out rough? And there's three chances, right? You could do really bad, you could do okay, and in that okay game, you could win or lose, and then in the good one, obviously, you win. So this one being the really bad one, I want to see this next one kind of be in the balance, and I know that they got within three, I believe, but I'm not really buying too much into it. The reason why I say it is, it's hard to say grit is the reason that they have it. That's what they're going to be all year. They're going to be scrappy, but it's going to come down to putting the ball in the bucket. Doesn't matter how many turnovers you force, how much you disrupt the opposing offense. If you can't get it going on your end, it's going to be a rough night. So I was expecting something of a tough game. Next one, I want to see them be in it beyond, or not within the last couple of minutes only. I want to see them be in it, basically half of the game or more than that and snatch it away or maybe it gets snatched from them in the final minute or so. That's something you can take away from. But as long as they play defense, Adrian, they're always going to have a chance. But if they want to win, they have to score.
They really do, Sal. They really have to start scoring more points offensively. And that's, I think, the biggest concern I have is who are your go-to scorers? It changes on a night-to-night basis. I think in a perfect world, Otis Frazier III has to be their consistent scorer. And tonight, 9 attempts, 14 points tonight, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc. He was helping the Miners when they needed it down the stretch. They just need it consistently from all their guys. I mean, tonight, Devin Barnes with 6 points in this matchup, Ahmad Bynum with 3. Those two went off, absolutely off against UC Santa Barbara. And it felt like, it feels like last season at points where they struggled offensively in the 2023-24 season. Last year, where I just felt like this offense felt anemic at times. They'd go on these scoring droughts, and it would be like trying to claw from those mishaps. But Alberto, you were the one tracking the shots like throughout the night here tonight. Your thoughts on what Sal said, talking about the real challenges UTEP's having offensively.
No, well, I think that the outcome of today is really what you expect after that super, super slow start that the Miners have. I'm just kind of looking at it now on paper as it happened. And the first two possessions by the Miners are two possessions that are handled by Otis Frazier. The first one is a missed three, and the second one is a game-tying a layup that, you know, makes it 2-2. And that was when in the 18th minute, the Miners would go on to go like 3 minutes without scoring again, and it's those long moments without scoring that do the Miners no good and really put them in these huge holes that make it difficult for them to get out of. And then they have to start shooting the ball. And then if they don't shoot the ball well from the jump, well, that puts you even in an bigger hole. So it's just a lot of bad situations happening all at once. But yeah, it was just a very disappointing game today.
Yeah, disappointing loss all around. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. We're brought to you by Jack in the Box. Big shout out to Jack in the Box. They fueled us here before this Minor Talk edition right here. Big shout out to them. They've got 15 locations in El Paso and Las Cruces. They're open 24/7. So if you're talking about late night, early morning, lunchtime, dinner time, that's Jack in the Box. They're always open. They've got locations all across El Paso and even Las Cruces. And big shout out to Jack in the Box, the perfect spot before and after every game. Also, big shout out to the Oscar Arrieta Agency. They bring the Hometown Hero Award every UTEP men's basketball game. Check them out, OscarArriettaAgency.com, to nominate a person who could be the next hometown hero. Check them out online as well. And then we'll give out some awards later on, thanks to our great friends at Wind Supply El Paso. I also want to mention this. How about this one right here? The District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa. They are going to be showing all these games. So if you're like us who are struggling to watch this one on Flow Sports tonight, the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa, they will have tomorrow's game. They'll have Wednesday's game shown on the big TV. They were showing some Monday Night Football tonight, and they'll also have the rest of the games all week long. So big shout out to the District. We'll be out there as well, getting a chance to watch them. They have Taco Tuesday tomorrow, and then Wednesday they've got a great roll taco special along with their $7 burger special. So all that is coming up and more this week, 600 ESPN El Paso. As we welcome in UTEP Zay Galindo to the program. Zay, this is your first Minor Talk for basketball this year due to scheduling issues. We've had a lot of scheduling problems, and the reason is it's just so busy, man. We've hit the sports equinox where all the sports have hit all at once, but nonetheless, I'm very excited that you're back with us here to talk some hoops. I'm not happy that we're talking about a loss here. 71-65 is the finish here for San Jose State beating UTEP. I did not expect this.
I mean, you know, first off, it's good to be back. I'm happy that I'm back talking some hoops, you know, and what can I say? I'm just a busy man these days. What can I say?
Senior in high school, I got you.
No, I'm just playing. But, I mean, disappointing loss. This was a really disappointing loss. And, you know, listening to this game, I wish we could watch this game. I think it would give us a better of idea, you know, what happened. You know, it would give us a better idea. But, I mean, listening to it, I mean, UTEP just did what we were used to seeing UTEP do. I mean, these past 3 years, right? It's been the same issues, you know, the inconsistencies, especially shooting wise. I mean, if this team wants to win, they got to do better than 5 of 18. So, you know, just a disappointing loss all around.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more here as we continue on Minor Talk. We're going to get to all the phone calls right now. We've got a fantasy draft that we're so excited about. It's going to get crazy. It's me, Sal, Alberto, and Zay. All four of us are finally on the show together here at one point. We've been waiting to get on the show all together for a while now, but we've all finally done it. We're all here at a River Oaks property, Schoolyard Sports Studios, and now that means we will be undergoing a fantasy basketball draft here, a live one, where we'll do kind of snake version. We'll draft 12 players who we picked from this team, and each of us will have about three players, and we're going to see who has the best team when it's all said and done. But let's go back to the phone lines right now, 915-505-6009. Full phone lines will react to all the calls afterward. Let's go out to Vegas. It's Sideline UTEP who is joining us out in Las Vegas. He was on site to cover the Ball Dogs Classic for Sideline Sports. Sidelines, it's great to hear from you, man. But what a disappointing loss for UTEP. Paint us the picture of what's going on in Vegas and tell us all about it, man.
Hey, what's up, guys? first game, you know. You kind of want to see UTEP come out, you know, start off the classic with the win, you know, especially against the team that just wanted it more today, you know. I think they were searching for the Division I win of the season. So, I mean, they played lights out today, and it seemed like UTEP started off slow, and they just never really recovered until, you know, towards the ending of the second half. When, I mean, the effort was there in the second half, but you want to see that all day, not just the ending of the game.
You really do. And sidelines, first off, you might want to move just a little bit from where you're at. I think we're having a little spotty connection problems, but I'm sure if you move just a little bit, we'll be perfect moving forward. This is what I'll tell you, man. I was so disappointed on how this game started. And now it's becoming a reoccurring issue, right? And the losses that you can point out. The exhibition game, sure. Okay, you go down big to New Mexico on the road. That's an exhibition game. You could shrug that one off, but still a bad start that we can talk about. Utah Valley, that was a terrible start. What was it, 15-0 before UTEP got their first bucket in that matchup? I really liked how they started against UC Santa Barbara. They actually started off as the hot one, not the Gauchos. But in this one right here, it's another one where the Miners fall into an early rut, and it felt like the Miners really could never come back out of it.
No, yeah, most definitely. It looked like they just couldn't work their way out of it, you know, until the ending of the game. And it kind of, you know, when I was watching the first half, Adrian, I kind of got, you know, glimpses of that Utah Valley game where just nothing was falling in. And I think that's just going to kind of have how it's going to be with this team. You know, either their shots are going to fall in one night or, you know, they're not. But disappointing overall. But I mean, they still got two more chances. You know, they got Long Beach State, I think, tomorrow. And I just learned that they prefer to be called the Beach instead. And then, you know, UNC Greensboro as well. So, I mean, they got two more opportunities. I don't think it's the ending of the world, but man, this is definitely not how you wanted to start the classic at all.
No, and it's also Mountain West team. Don't forget that, right? I mean, it's UTEP who's joining the Mountain West in two seasons. They've got to win more of these games under their belt against quality teams. San Jose State's not a quality team. This is a team that entered this one 1-5. It was a deceptive record because those five losses, they played really competitively in those losses. But still, Miners should go into this one. They should win, and they didn't. And they're falling short of some of these expectations that I've placed on this team before the season started. Remember, this team wanted to talk about how they were going to be road tested, that they were going to be road warriors and playing for 10 minutes 33 seconds, and that was, you know, kind of a reflection of that Conference USA championship game. But my final question to you is, how is the environment out in Vegas? There's two more days, like you mentioned. There were a lot of UTEP fans, like you've been posting about as well on social media, which is cool to see. But paint the picture, how is the Bulldog Classic when it's all said and done?
You know, I'm not going to speak on how this event was structured. It's kind of all over the place. But other than that, man, it's a good time. I'm having a blast here in Vegas. You know, I thankfully get to stay at my grandma's house and I get some quality family time. But there was a lot of Miner fans here, man. The Miner fans showed up to Vegas, and man, we couldn't deliver them a win. But hopefully they come back for the next two games and we can deliver something. But great environment, not too many fans, but it's still just an awesome experience all around.
Okay, good stuff, man. I appreciate it. Sidelines UTEP, we appreciate you big time, man. You enjoy the rest of your time out in Vegas, and we'll talk to you later on, man. Good stuff. But Sidelines, take a little shot at the Bulldogs Classic you heard right there. He's like, oh, you know, I didn't like how it was all structured, so, you know, there's probably some craziness. Hey, Sal, as long as they don't have a Conference USA curtain over there, I think all things will be okay at the Bulldogs Classic.
That's true, and especially the refs. Keep the refs away. And it's not homerism at all. It's basically just trying to get away from home. Don't treat those other teams the way that you treat not just UTEP, but Middle Tennessee, Louisiana Tech. Let's even go back a couple of years. Marshall. Let's just throw them all out there. But it kind of in the parking lot, but not in the arena of the disappointment in the tournament. Obviously, I'm not there, but Reno, Nevada? Or Henderson, Nevada?
Henderson.
I thought this was the Bulldog Classic in Vegas. It says Vegas on the flyers, but whatever. I don't know.
You got to drive 45 minutes outside of Vegas to actually go to this one right here. Yeah. That's hilarious. I love it. All right. Good stuff, guys. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Couple other calls to get to. Then we'll talk more about, you know, just our thoughts on this game when it's all said and done. Brian is next to join us. After Brian, it's Carlos. Brian, good evening, man. What's happening?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Just overall a very disappointing result. Well, what really pissed me off was our 3-pointers. Today was atrocious. Wait, let me pull up the score real quick. In our 3-pointers, we were 27.8% compared to San Jose State's 46.7%, which is really bad. Such as Trey Horton missing all 5 of his 3-pointers. And overall, just a very disappointing performance from the offense. Defense wasn't great either, and I can really see improving going forward through the Bulldogs Classic. And not to mention, the broadcasting on Flow Sports was atrocious. The announcers don't know what they're saying. They were mispronouncing the names of all our players, which really pissed me off. At one point, it was like 43-27, and I just turned it off because I didn't want to watch it anymore. But hey, shout out to Sidelines Youssef being famous, though.
Oh, he is famous. He is famous. And he's out there at the Bulldogs Classic. And, yeah, I'm glad that you shouted him out. We were frustrated, man. I probably could have messed around with this a little bit more and actually watched this one. But I was like you. I turned it off. I'm glad I didn't have to see the terrible broadcast and all that, Brian. But I appreciate the phone call, man. I echo the same sentiment as far as the three-point shooting goes. And, look, I mean, it sounds cliche. They'll live by the three. They will die by the three. And tonight, 27.8% from beyond the arc, completely different than what they did with that 55% shooting effort against UC Santa Barbara. Back to the phones. It's Carlos who's next on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. It's our Minor Talk special edition, post-game edition after the San Jose State loss. 71-65 is the finish. We could take calls right now. If you have any thoughts on UTEP basketball, we had full phone lines, but now we have freed up a couple phone lines. 915-505-6009. Carlos, good evening, man. What's happening?
Hey, guys. You know, obviously a very disappointing loss. And, you know, everyone's going to be talking about the offense and the three-point shooting. And I just kind of wanted to take a different angle from this. And before I really get into the meat of my argument, I want to ask you guys, who is this player averaging 5 points, 0.8 assists, and a single rebound a game?
Is it? Oh, man, this is okay. I love this game because I really enjoy this game.
Hold on.
Let me think about it.
I did the quick math.
Okay, so. let me think about this one. Is it Derek Hamilton?
No, it's not. It's David Terrell Jr.
Okay, keep going.
And so what I'm getting at is I understand, you know, we need more out of David Terrell, right? You know, this is a guy that really is, as they keep saying, is the alpha dog of the team, and we need to see it more on the floor. The best performances I've seen of David Terrell is when he's pissed off, and I stand by that. And again, I love his game. I love him as a player and what he can do, but we need more out of him on the offensive side of the ball so we don't have to rely on Ahmad Bynum, Otis Frazier, when they're having cold games like this, to really go off in the second half, you know, because that's, again, unrealistic for a whole expectation of a season. If everyone else can contribute just a bit more, they can go on a bit of a run and stop themselves shooting themselves in the foot. But, you know, my main point is I expect more out of David Terrell, and I think he needs to turn it up.
Man, Carlos, this was maybe the call of the night. Great call. And I'm just saying this because I was talking to some of the guys here on Minor Talk, and I was hoping off air no one would bring this up. And so any final thoughts before we talk about what you had to say?
Yeah, you know, again, I say this with, like, I really like David Terrell, and I don't mean it in a very, like, mean,
I know. No, hey, this
sense.
Is a safe
like,
space. This no, is a safe space.
I know
space.
That his mom is probably listening, and, you know, I'm just like, no, I'm not doing this because I mean. I'm doing this because, like, I want him, like, to be the best player in UTEP, but, you know, it's just, yeah, but that's all I got, man.
Great stuff, Carlos. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for giving us a call, 915-505-6009. All right, guys, let's open up the can of worms, David Terrell. Number one, I just want to say this. I'm the captain of the David Terrell fan club. I was the president last year. I founded the club last year in 2023. It was I established it. We had a couple members in the club, and then a couple people went away, and then everybody wanted to sign up. We have a long waiting list as of, you know, the Conference USA tournament. The waiting list went long. We had to put people, you know, on hold, and then now everybody's missing the meetings. No one's coming around to the meetings anymore. But I'm still here. The David Terrell fan club, I'm still here.
You know what? I was thinking of it like the David Terrell show, and obviously I'm still on board. And I thought of something, but it wound up being a pun, but for the Terrell Show to be on. Unfortunately, there's just some technical difficulties, and I don't mean that facetiously. Just wanted to throw that out there. But no, man, it's a rough start to the year. Still trying to get his footing, I guess, so to speak, get the feel of it, especially with some new guys out there. I know it's not entirely new, but you definitely do expect more based off of the year that he had last year. But it's still November. Still November, so it's a very long season.
Yeah, we're only five games in. Zay, go ahead.
Can I be like, I think I've earned the co-president, vice president
yes,
of the
yes,
David Sorrell yes. fan club, and I proudly hold this position. I love this position, and I think that, you know, David Sorrell is such a talented player. You know, I'll start off with that. And I know he's been struggling. I mean, he's literally either been ejected or fouled out, you know, the past three Division I games. Like, that is a big red flag. But, I mean, like we were talking about before, you know, before we went on air, the ups are so high that you take it, you take the bad, right? This guy is only a sophomore. We put so much on a guy that he's only a sophomore, right? He only averaged like 6 points last game. You know, maybe our expectations for him were a little bit too high, right? Maybe that development is going to come with time. But at the same time, I mean, everybody's going to have their sophomore slump. I do have faith that he'll get through this. And I think that his defensive upside, you know, regardless of what his play in the box score is, I think it's too high to take off, right? He's going to play more than 20 minutes every game, regardless of, you know, what he's doing on the offensive side of the floor, because he's just such a good defender.
Well put. Well put. I don't really need to say much more. I'm going to save my David Terrell stuff for when we do our fantasy picks. I'll just say this, you know, 6 points today. He had a nice up and under that made me think, okay, is this where he starts to turn the corner? To the last point about Carlos, I'll disagree on the sense of he's saying, I think Terrell plays his best when he's mad. We've seen, you know, and I'm just, all right, let's state facts here, okay? Against Division I teams, all right? Let's start the first game. The first matchup against a Division I team in Utah Valley, he fouled out, and he didn't really foul out. He got thrown out of the game thanks to a double tech that happened in that matchup right there, okay? So that happened. Fouls out of UC Santa Barbara, and then fouls out tonight against San Jose State. So that's the three games so far against D1 opponents for David Terrell Jr. Do I think this is a problem? No. Do I think this is a bad start? Yes, and I think that's the fair way to look at it. And I do trust that he's going to be back into David Terrell Jr. form once conference play starts. But he's got to, you know, and he knows this. He doesn't need to hear it from Minor Talk. He doesn't need to hear it from his mom. He knows all of this. That's what I like about him. He's a very self-accountable guy. He's an alpha in the room, and he knows what it's going to take in order to get out of this, whatever this is. 915-505-6009. Let's get to a couple comments. And then we'll do our long-awaited draft, which I'm very excited about. Carlos Becerra, he said, all those missed threes. And Alberto, you were tracking all the shots tonight, so you saw all those missed threes too.
Yeah, the team was rough. You know, you live and die by that three. And I'm going to read off some stats or just some facts that happened. And look, in the second half, the Miners' first bucket came in the 15-minute mark.
Terrible.
And that was two free throws by Derek Hamilton. San Jose State went on two sizable runs in the first half alone, 15-4. That's to open up the game. So you open up the game 15-4. What do you expect What do you expect to do?
Exactly.
So it's like, yeah. And then in the first half, after that, San Jose State goes on a 12-3 run. So there's a lot of stuff where it's like, well, you didn't really put yourself in a position to win. So the outcome here is what you expect. And, you know, to touch on David Terrell, he could have been chucking the ball up a lot more. So you kind of commend him for not overshooting the ball when it wasn't his night.
Maybe they needed that, though. I don't know.
You never know. You know, and you're definitely right. Maybe they did. But I want to commend him for that. You know, letting other guys, when they're having their night and you're not on, let them do their thing.
Yeah, but I go back to what like Carlos or even what Zay was saying, like, you know, when others are not having the night, maybe David Terrell needs to be the guy who steps up. I don't know. I think that we're still trying to figure a lot out of this team early on in the season. So we didn't learn too much out of today, out of what this team really is. And then the small lineup approach, we haven't really hit on that, but Miners went small the majority of this matchup. It was no Kalu, no Hamilton down low. They were rolling with Otis Frazier III as their tallest guy on the floor, and it's because San Jose had to match that. But they were kind of playing the Spartans game in that sense. They weren't really playing their lineup that they usually have there. Sal, did you agree with that, or did you think that was a flaw for them tonight?
I think what it is they're just trying to pick up the pace, and with
agreed,
you know, that's really the main thing, because I believe that they've kind of accepted, like, hey, rebounding may not be in their favor in terms of numbers. So if they can't adapt well to that style of play, there's really no need to. Just do what you do best, and that's be physical on defense and be quick on defense. And we got to see them, you know, kind of close the gap in the final moments, or the final, what, half or so, or the final 5 minutes, I think we should say, of the second half. So they just wanted to do what they did best, and it worked out there. Now, there's going to be times where it may not work, you know what I mean? And there's going to be times where the bigs are just consistently being fed, but San Jose State was this they were lights out shooting the ball. Last week it was Poto killing them down low. San Jose State really didn't need to do that tonight when they have their guards, you know, hitting from anywhere.
915-505-6009. We've got over 200 people listening to us live or watching us live on Inspo Lens. Big shout out to Inspo Lens. Big shout out to Chris. He's back. Now I feel like we're really back. Like, we've got Alberto, Sal, Zay back, and I'm back, but Chris is back too. And big shout out to Inspo Lens. By the way, for Inspo Lens, if you're looking for a fresh perspective on stories that inspire, well, check out InspoLens.com. This innovative website is dedicated to spotlighting the uplifting stories through video that don't always make it to the headlines. From personal triumphs to groundbreaking innovations, Inspo Lens brings you the positivity and motivation you need. Whether you're interested in human resilience, community heroes, or simply want to start your day with something inspiring, Inspo Lens has it all. Visit InspoLens.com. See the world through an inspiring lens, positive storytelling, education, and action for good. Inspo Lens is your El Paso documentary website. New stories will be out next week. And that's Inspo Lens here on the program as we continue. A couple other comments to get to. Herman Flores: I'm glad I didn't pay $30 to watch this on a random app. I agree. I wish I didn't either, my friend. This is coming in from Matthew Castro. This is year four of Joe Golding, and it feels like we have the same inconsistencies that we've had the last few years. Patiently waiting for our next tournament appearance, but that doesn't look like it's happening anytime soon. Hope I'm wrong, at David Isaac. Diet Coke 915. What a username right there. Golding out. 4 years of the same play. Jim Center, Heather Wilson, stop the penny pinching and get a good quality coach who is a proven winner and not some FCS nobody. Oh, man.
Isn't that what people wanted? And then when Golding was hired, they were ecstatic. I know I was ecstatic, and I'm not out on it, but that's what people wanted.
Exactly.
You know, they wanted a – this guy was coming off of a tournament win, so nah, come on, man.
So, Hermosillo, just when you think they turn the corner, they go out and lay an egg. Worst part is this team is well-traveled. Bahamas, Chihuahua, Albuquerque. Also, this team doesn't have the highest payroll NIL in Conference USA. No, UTEP does not have the highest payroll in Conference USA, Hermosillo. Not even close. Are they? Well, maybe they're close. I should say, if they're in the top five, I wouldn't be surprised. But from the schools that I know, UTEP is not in the. UTEP doesn't have a higher NIL than Liberty. That's just facts. And so there's others right now in Conference USA. I mean, the Hilltoppers have two or three different NIL collectives that just support basketball alone. And we'll also say this, Esau, UC Santa Barbara has a seven-figure NIL. UTEP is well under that. So, yeah, it's just a reality. UTEP is still not as competitive as they need to be for NIL resources. Manny David: I figured UTEP would go 2-1 in the Ball Dogs Classic. I didn't have them losing this one. Hopefully they can win the next two. Can't have another poor first half and a poor start to the second half. Forced turnovers are good. Got to work on rebounds. Hashtag minor talk. Tristan Pence, our pal: UTEP lost a game to a 1-5 team who turned the ball over 24 times. That's awful. Joe Golding has to do a better job getting his team ready to play. UTEP had to resort to playing Frazier in the post. That's just sad. Let's hope the Miners get their act together tomorrow. Zay, were you upset with the post play or that decision to go as small as they did and kind of, you know, go with what San Jose was kind of throwing their way?
No, I think this team, you know, they can succeed if they're a small, you know, with a smaller lineup. But at the end of the day, I just don't think that, I just think with the personnel that they have right now, you know, this, how this roster is made up of, you know, most of the time they'll have a better chance to win going small ball, you know, and it depends on the matchup, of course, right? If you're playing against a bigger team and a more physical team, then definitely, right? It'll favor you if you go with the bigger lineup. But at the end of the day, for the most part, you know, UTEP going small could really benefit them.
915-505-6009, our telephone numbers. We continue. A couple other tweets to get to. Adrian at NMUN3, we know Golding is a good coach, so he's going to get the most out of these kids, but we aren't getting the kind of talent to win championships or get to the NCAA tournament. Coach Joe Golding saying 1-5, now 2-5, San Jose State is really good when they are picked bottom of their conference and rebuilding, has to be the most UTEP post-game statement ever. Oh, man, that's a tough one. Poncho, I guess UTEP men's basketball lives and dies by the three-pointer. No mid-range shots? No inside game? That's a lazy way to coach a team. Hashtag minor talk. Pick my axe 915. Inconsistency has definitely been the most consistent thing about UTEP hoops under Golding. It's a pattern, and I don't think it'll ever change under Golding. I mean, as far as consistency goes, I don't know if it's an overarching problem like that they've had year over year, but it's definitely an issue right now. I mean, the team that played against Utah Valley, the team that played against UC Santa Barbara, and the team that played tonight seem like three different teams, and it's all one same team, but it feels like three different teams, which is crazy to me. But that's the reality where this UTEP team is at right now, and I'm curious to see how they try to turn this, like, these inconsistencies game in, game out, to being or playing more consistent moving forward. So, or if it doesn't happen, we'll see what ends up happening though when it's all said and done. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. All right, guys, it is time. It's time to do it. And it's time to lock in. It's time for our fantasy draft, and it's time to go around the table. We are doing the snake draft, and we're going to do this where I pick we went through our selections for all our listeners out there. I am the first pick, so I'm very excited. And I did not cheat, right, Sal? You're my witness, Sal, right?
How many is it against you right now so I can join the mat? No, I'm joking. No, it's all good. There's no cheating.
Okay, no cheating here. I was first pick. Sal was second pick. Alberto third. Zay fourth. Then Zay for the snake draft. He's going to pick fifth. Alberto will be picking sixth. Sal seventh. I will be eighth. All right, Sal, do you have your second pick? Because I'm on the clock officially for number one.
I know what you mean. The second round.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have that, but I have number one, though.
Okay, all right. So my first overall pick. So I'm 1-1, okay? So these are all the teams. I should probably get a pen. I should probably write all of this down.
Yeah.
And I've got
there's
I've
a
got
couple
right
pens
here.
Back here if
okay,
you guys
cool.
need
to. I'm going to I'll write it over here. I've got this on my side. Thank you guys. But let's just do it. And I think it's an easy one for my first overall pick in our UTEP basketball fantasy draft, where we are doing this right now. We are doing this officially, and we are making this happen. 600 ESPN El Paso and Minor Talk. My number one is Otis Frazier III. It is as easy as it could get, and I feel very confident with that. Otis Frazier III, night in, night out, is UTEP's best player. He's the best two-way player, and I feel really good about the senior being on my team as my first overall pick, even though I don't pick until pick number eight. I feel great about Otis Frazier III leading my team. Sal, you are on the clock. Number two.
You know what? You might say it's recency bias. However, just judging off of minutes, this guy leads the team in minutes. So he's going to be out there the most, and that's going to be Corey Camper Jr.
Wow, Corey Camper, the number two pick. We've already gone off the top. We've already gotten off the top of this. I love it. Well, Corey Camper Jr., number two overall pick, going to Sal Montes. All right, Alberto, you are next up. You have pick number three. Where are we going here?
I'm going to go David Terrell Jr. I believe I'm buying the stock at whatever it's at right now. Give me David Terrell.
I feel like half of us, we all picked everything that everybody else wanted. Really feel like there's a lot of picks here that everybody else wanted.
That's too bad. I wanted Terrell with my sixth pick.
This is really different. Now I could be, all right, let's do this, okay? So to round out round number one, We've got Otis Frazier III. He's off the board. Corey Camper Jr. He's off the board. David Terrell Jr. off the board. Those are the three first picks in this draft right now, and that leads us to Zay. This has blown his mind. I could tell he's writing all these notes. He's already got a board up right now trying to figure out who's his fantasy winners. Zay, you have the last pick of round number one. Where are you going?
Wow, I mean,
you have the easy. Actually, yeah. I know where this should go.
These two are kind of obvious where I should be going, and you know, I went back and forth on them a little bit. I was hoping David would fall to me. He didn't. So, you know, with the fourth pick, I'm going with, you know, the Tarleton State transfer, Devon Barnes. I mean, I don't know how he fell to me, but I knew that one of the big time guys were going to fall to four. So it's nice to have Barnes on my team.
Okay, so Devon Barnes it's an easy pick right there. I love it. It's a literal layup, and you're going fourth overall for Devon Barnes. This makes it exciting because now you have the fifth pick. Now you could go a lot of different routes here, but I think I know where you're going. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm going with this route. I mean, I could go with the safer pick. And I'm not going to say who that is, but I could go with the safer pick. And on the other end of the, you know what I'm talking about, there's two players that I'm looking at, right, that I'm saying, okay, they're both have really
I know.
You don't have to say the name. Just say the initials.
All right.
He's giving the spark notes for all his other picks.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's going to be a Ahmad Bynum.
Yep, I wrote it already in pen. I had it in pen already written down. There's no chance in my eyes you'd go anywhere else. Ahmad Bynum goes sixth overall in our fantasy draft. So off the board, we've got Otis Frazier III. He's already off. David Terrell Jr. is off the board. Devon Barnes off the board. Corey Camper Jr. off the board. And Ahmad Bynum off the board so far. Okay, so now we get into the full part of the second round. And Alberto, you've got the second pick of the second round.
You know what, guys?
This is where it gets fun.
I'm a double believer.
He's going to do it.
Give me Derek Hamilton.
Oh, wow. Okay,
I like him. I just want to ride with him. I really like it. I like him. Like, I want it to work out. I'm picking with my heart today.
Okay. David Terrell Jr.
For the whole season.
David Terrell Jr. and Derek Hamilton for Alberto. This leads us to Sal. Sal, you go ahead.
I'm not even ready, man. I have no idea, but I got to go with it, man. And
do it. Please. Geez. We've been waiting for somebody to do it.
Man.
It's easy. He's you have one big man on this team.
I know. And I know you're baiting me to it. However, what other option is there? And I cannot jump off ever. Give me the guy who switches screens the best. Give me Kalu.
He did it. Kevin Kalu is the eighth overall pick. And
Steve
that means
Yellen, I hope you're listening, my man.
Yes. And that means thank you, guys. This was rigged for me. This was made for me, and I feel so great about it. Trey Horton III is going to be my next pick. I feel great about that one right there. And I get the next one, which is going to be KJ Thomas. Sorry, you guys. I feel great about this. I've got Otis Frazier, Trey Horton, and KJ Thomas. Who's beating my team? I've got the best team. I'm sorry, guys. Sal, we're going back to you. You have between DeCannon Wickware, Elijah Jones, and Baylor Hebb.
Give me Elijah Jones. I still think it's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Alberto, you got the choice between DeCannon and Baylor Hebb.
I'll take Baylor Hebb.
Okay. All right. And DeCannon is going Zay's way.
Or is he?
Where are we going?
Where is he?
No, the 12th overall pick.
Going to Cannon Wickware. I mean, thank you. Thank you, honestly. I'd much rather have DeCannon than Baylor Hebb. And that's just Thanks. Because I think that, you know, if DeCannon comes back from injury, we haven't seen him.
Exactly.
Like, who knows? What if this guy is really good?
6'6".
6'6".
Could be him.
You could know? Be him.
Could be that post guy that the Miners have been looking for.
Okay, we're going to post this on social media, and we're going to ask everybody else who won in this quote-unquote fantasy draft. I think I won, guys, and I rigged this so I could get the first overall pick and win this. But Otis Frazier III, Trey Horton III, and KJ Thomas for me. Sal had Corey Kamper Jr., Kevin Kalou, and Elijah Jones, which might be sneaky good. I mean, if Corey Kamper Jr. is leading CUSA in scoring by the end of the year, would you be that surprised, Sal?
You know what? I would be surprised if he's leading in scoring. However, I wouldn't be surprised if he's leading in minutes.
So okay, I
know he's going to be out there. He's reliable to be on the floor more so than a lot of the guys. But, you know, he's kind of a stat sheet stuffer too. So he's not going to excel in just one area, but he is going to thrive in a multiple range of them.
Alberto, you have David Trill Jr., Derek Hamilton, and Baylor Hebb.
I feel good. I feel good about where this team could go. I feel like Derek Hamilton, he knows what this season means to him. It's his last one. And I've heard a lot of great things about Baylor Head, so I'm excited about what I'm going to see out of him. I know that the team is all in on him, so I'm all in on him. He's my third guy, and I'm excited to see how we're going to figure out these points.
Zay, if we were playing 3-on-3 right here, and we were talking about a 3-on-3 tournament, Devin Barnes, Ahmad Bynum, DeCannon Wickware, that sounds like a pretty nice three.
You know, am I allowed to, like, trash talk you guys?
Yes.
Like, from the sideline? Yes. Like, yeah. I think my team is I think I'm going to win. Just the whole everything.
The
Minor Talk Championship. You know, all it takes. All it takes is, you know, KJ Thomas falls out the lineup. You know, Trey Horton has a bad season. You know, and now you're down to Otis. And Otis is going to do Otis things, right? And then for Sal's team, I mean, what if Elijah Jones just doesn't pan out? Kalou has you know, another year that we've seen out of him, nothing crazy. And Kamper drops 13 a game, right? Then you know, with Alberto, Derek Hamilton only puts up 6 a game. You know, Baylor Hebb really doesn't play. And David Terrell, you know, kind of stays stagnant. And guess where that leaves me? Ahmad Bynum has an amazing year. He shoots 50% from three. Devon Barnes is averaging 10, 20 points a game, 10 assists. DeCannon Wickware comes off the bench putting up 6-6. I think I'm the champion. So just give it all up, guys. You know, just crown me now.
Oh man, I love it. Zay with the smack talk. I feel confident about mine, and I think Sal said he wasn't feeling great about his. Alberto felt great about his. So I'll just say this. This was fun. We got four teams already done. Let me ask you guys this. Can any of these teams have three guys, any of the three guys you put, in a starting lineup together? I'll say no. I don't think any iteration of these three guys on these three teams will actually make a starting lineup all together.
No, I truly believe that. As far as starting lineup goes, I don't think that'll be the case. We may see different rotations where, you know, you'll see a handful of these guys together. But ultimately, I think coach is going to adjust to the flow of the game. And that's really interesting, too, because you see some teams kind of dominate. I don't want to say dominate, but they take control of how the game goes, whether they're being hot on offense or not. And with UTEP, you kind of see them have to be reactive instead of proactive, which is really interesting under Golding, considering the intensity that he has his guys play with. So, basically, long-winded answer, no, I don't think we'll see a starting lineup with them.
Okay, we got a couple of tweets. Actually, this is UTEP News, our boy Anthony checking in with us. UTEP has no inside game, no true big man. You cannot and will not win a championship like that. I don't know how Golding didn't go out this offseason and go find himself a true center. If he thought Hamilton and Kalou were going to do it, he was sadly mistaken. How would you answer that one, Zay?
You know, I was somewhat critical of UTEP not going after a big man this year. You know, I think that I know that they're a little bit harder, you know, more expensive. I guess that's the word. They're really expensive. Damn. Big men in college basketball, especially good proven transfers,
yes,
are really expensive. So, you know, I'm not sure what goes on the recruiting trail with NIL. I know it's way more difficult. I'll say that. I think it's more difficult for a basketball coach with NIL than it is for, you know, a football coach. I'll say that. And I just think it's because you have to spend your money so wisely. And I do think that the way that this team is built, it can be successful if everything is run right, right? if Kalu does his job, gets 6 or 7 rebounds a game, Frazier is physical, Terrell is physical, they can play small. But we see games like this where, you know, it kind of just backfires on you, and not having an inside game, not having a true big man really does hurt you. So, you know, the coin flips either way, right? On a win, you're applauding this, the way this roster is built, you know, built to shoot, built to run in transition. And in a loss, you're really, you know, attacking it because they don't have a true big man. They're not as physical in the interior. So it just depends on how the season goes.
Yeah, I'd say that the no true big man, they've got two big men that they've ran it back year over year with. Is it a difference-making big man that is going to shoot down low? No. You know what Hamilton is. You know what Kalu is. These guys are the same players they've been on since they've been on campus. And the upside for Hamilton, I think, is higher than Kalu. But Hamilton's never really shown his consistency in trying to make himself in shape or be well-conditioned to actually play in longer minutes during stretches. And for Kalu, how do you take him off the court when he's that strong defensively for you? I guess the only reason you take him out is he's not giving you much offensively, Sal.
And you know what? Unfortunately, when UTEP needs size, that's who they're going to defer to. It's basically just those two guys. And that might be it pretty much. And this is no disrespect, but it kind of reminds me of like bigs, you know, in the pros near the end of their career where they're there just to kind of fill up space and make sure nobody really attacks the paint. But we've seen teams attack the paint and kind of be quicker than UTEP to that spot. So that's kind of the down part of it. So I'd expect this team to be you don't have to look at the roster and see what they've done recently, but just off of that alone, they're going to be guard heavy at times where they don't necessarily need to be or want to be.
Yeah, that's a good point. 915-505-6009. As we wind it down, we've got a long week ahead of us. Not sure what's in store tomorrow, although I'll say this, UTEP's already 7.5-point favorites against Long Beach State.
Wow.
A lot of points. I know it's Long Beach State, who's a bad team. I get it. I get all that stuff. But what happened tonight? Miners take on a 1-5 team. Granted, that 1-5 ends up being more deceptive than it, you know, looked on paper. But still, for Long Beach State, this is a team right here who's coming into this one not highly regarded, not highly touted at all, excuse me. They're 1-5 as well. They're on a 5-game losing streak. They lost Saturday to Fresno State 72-69. They've lost to Gonzaga 84-41. Portland beat them 63-61. They lost to San Francisco by 30, 84-54. And they also lost to South Dakota State by 1, 80-79. So just like San Jose State,
yeah,
this Long Beach State team plays people pretty close. It's a lot of points there, guys. Yeah.
And to add on to that as well, they are trailing Greensboro by 11 at the half, 35-24. But, I mean, just look at who they've played, and it's been strong, or I don't want to say strong, but it's been consistent Division I talent, you know, if you really look at it and pay attention to the tougher ones. So it's not going to be as easy. People were thinking it was going to be basically a shoe-in for them to get the W just because San Jose was 1-5 going into this one. Going into this one today, Long Beach is 1-5. We'll see where they are tomorrow, but don't have that same sentiment.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, Zay, this is one I think the Miners should win tomorrow. And I honestly know that UNC Greensboro is going to be a tougher game on paper, but I want them, and I expect them to beat UNC Greensboro.
The Beach, you know?
Long Beach State, call them the Beach.
Yeah, everybody, I don't know, I'm not going to say everybody, but, you know, we know the story of them last year. They fired their coach, but he gets to coach the team to the NCAA tournament. It's a great story. Nonetheless, UTEP severely, you know, is more talented than this The Beach team, and this should be a win. I mean, no doubt about it. I know they're coming off. They'll probably be coming off a loss, be 1-6. This should be a win. I mean, there is no ands, ifs, or buts about it. UTEP needs to respond to this loss with a dominant victory over The Beach.
All right, as we wind it up with some closing thoughts here tonight, our Wind Supply El Paso hot hand of the game is going to Corey Camper Jr. 21 points, 7 of 16 from the field, 5 assists, no turnovers, 4 rebounds, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Just outstanding all around. And big shout out to Corey Camper Jr., who is our Wind Supply El Paso hot hand of the game. Hey, big shout out to Wind Supply El Paso. It's starting to get chilly outside here in El Paso. And if you're looking for a new furnace, check out Champion Furnaces online, Wind Supply El Paso. You could click their Find a Dealer tab on their website, find a Champion dealer near you, and you could actually find out more about furnaces here in El Paso. That's Champion Furnaces here in El Paso, thanks to Wind Supply El Paso. Check them out online, windsupplyelpaso.com, as our Hot Hand Award recipient is going to Corey Camper Jr. As far as player of the game goes, I think it's Camper Jr. who's going to sweep both awards, guys. Thanks to the Oscar IDFA agency, the player of the game is also going to go to Corey Camper Jr. Those stats that I just mentioned, plus he also had two steals in 35 minutes of action. In this one, Corey Camper Jr. felt like he was their only solution. So we're giving both awards here tonight. Corey Camper Jr., he earned them, and he gets the Oscar IDFA agency player of the game. And thanks to the Oscar IDFA agency, they are going to be awarding new people hometown heroes at the next UTEP basketball game. If you know somebody who could be nominated for the next hero award, check them out. OscarIdiethaAgency.com. Click the hometown hero button and click the nominate button as well so you can fill out some information. Let them know why you believe somebody in your life should be the next hometown hero for the Oscar Arieta Agency.
Real quick, guys, check your phones and look at the text. Oh, that's right. Corey Camper's on my team.
Oh,
yeah. Thank you.
Sal with a big shout out. Hey, Sal, you took home some hardware today. I'll give it to you. I like myself in the long run. Otis Frazier III. How many points does awards give you? I feel like awards should give you some points. No?
That's a good one. We got to figure that out. We'll do it after Turkey Day, after Camper gets like six more.
I love it. I love it, guys. Hey, big shout out to you guys. Thank you all so much for all the hard work. That's you, Alberto Retta, you, Zay Galindo, you, Sal Montes, and of course, Chris with Inspo Lens. I appreciate all our team here for Minor Talk. It's a late night here on a Monday, but we're doing it and we're having fun while doing it. San Jose State defeats UTEP 71-65. We've got a long week, so we're going to sign off tonight. We've got Long Beach State tomorrow. We'll be back Minor Talk after that one, then Minor Talk after UNC Greensboro, and it's all coming up here on 600 ESPN El Paso. And for all of us here on the program, we're signing off tonight. Check if you miss any of our podcasts, check us out on demand, and we will continue to keep you updated with our fantasy team. So we'll work on a graphic for that, and we'll talk more with you all tomorrow. But for all of us here tonight at our River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios, we're signing off and saying thanks for listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.